Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
You're listening to LSU Daily with Matt Moscona. Your home for all the latest Tiger news. Part of the Guarantee Podcast Network.
Okay, let's get it. It is LSU Daily, Drop Biscuit Studios, Southern home for storytellers. I'm Matt Moscona. Glad to have you aboard with us here. LSU beats New Mexico, blanks New Mexico, 38-0. We'll go through the game here, some takeaways, observations, and set the stage for the week ahead as LSU hits the road for the first time in conference play coming up Saturday at Auburn. If you're new, please subscribe up to the podcast on your favorite podcast apps. Rate us, leave a review on iTunes. It all helps, and we appreciate it greatly. Thanks for being here. So LSU accomplished what they needed to, which was a largely stress-free endeavor Saturday night in Tiger Stadium against New Mexico in a 38-0 win. LSU's first shutout of the season, a game where the defense was clearly the story. New Mexico totaled just 88 total yards, two first downs, and did not score. Quite honestly, didn't even come close to scoring in the ball game, despite a second half which saw a lot of rotation among players by LSU. And maybe also great news is that LSU largely protected the football. John Emery did lose a fumble late in the fourth quarter, but at that point the issue was not in doubt, so no harm, no foul at that point. Let's run through the game here a little bit. Of note, there were some personnel changes and absences. Notably, B.J. Ojulari did not play, neither did Jay Ward. Ojulari was injured against Florida State. You might remember that he sat against Southern and then was just fantastic against Mississippi State. And this was an opportunity to rest him again before you hit the road in conference play against Auburn. And then Jay Ward had kind of a scary moment on the interception at the end of the Mississippi State game where it looked like he hyperextended his knee. And Ward did dress for this game, but didn't play. So that was probably a really good thing, the fact that they didn't need him. The game fell where it did, and they were able to just say, hey, you know, take this week off, and we'll see you back here when we hit the road to take on Auburn. So a couple of other notables. Anthony Bradford was back after missing the previous game. Bradford did start at right guard, and I think you probably now have what will be your core starting five on the offensive line with Campbell at left tackle, Dellinger at left guard, Charles Turner at center. Turner was a little hobbled but did not miss any plays. There was a play where it looked like he got rolled up on but didn't come out, and looks good. Bradford at right guard, and then, of course, the freshman Emory Jones got his second consecutive start at right tackle. And LSU's two freshman tackles were dominant for the second consecutive week, which was fantastic to see. With Ojulari out, we did get to see Harold Perkins get a start in the ball game, which was really, really cool to see. Now, part of that obviously was Ojulari's absence, and also just what New Mexico did. They kind of run a weird option-style offense out of the pistol. So LSU kind of went more traditional 4-3 defensive look. So you had three linebackers on the field. You had Greg Penn, Mike Jones in the middle, and then Harold Perkins. So you kind of went with a more traditional linebacker look. And Harold Perkins was, again, your leading tackler in the ball game with 8 stops, 3 solo. The other notable change is that the seven banks, for the first time in his LSU career, got on the field. Now, Colby Richardson and Jarque Bernard Converse were listed as the starters, but Banks was out there on the second drive and played the bulk of the game. So four tackles for seven banks, did have a half a tackle for a loss. It was just really nice to see the Ohio State transfer get out there, run around, and play a little bit. Now, there is one bit of disappointing news that Brian Kelly shared after the game, and that is that Major Burns is going to miss 3 to 6 weeks with an injury. Major's been a very good player in this defense, so that is certainly disappointing. But it also comes at a time when Joe Fouché comes off of academic suspension. If you're not familiar with the story, Joe Fouché transferred in from Arkansas. Some of his credits didn't transfer over, so he had to miss four games. Well, that four-game academic suspension is now up and just in time. Of course, Major Burns not there, so Fouché very seamlessly should slide into that spot next to Greg Brooks. And the guys that were teammates, the guys from Louisiana that were teammates at Arkansas, now are going to be your starting safety tandem, most likely, when you head to Auburn, an opponent they both know well because they've played them for the past 4 years. So that is very fortuitous for LSU that the timing worked out the way it did. So, all right, let's go through some of the game flow here. New Mexico got the ball to start the game, and LSU quickly forced a three and out. One big change we saw immediately was Jack Besh back as a punt returner. Probably not a great decision to not fair catch that first one. He got tackled for no return. Actually, forgive me, that was on the second one where he got tackled for no return. But Besh, we'll get to, again, he had a big play in the punt return game coming up, which we'll get to. So LSU on its first possession, the second play of the game, they got the ball to Jack Besh on a 9-yard completion. And that was something Brian Kelly said they were going to do. They were going to get Jack Besh more involved. Similar to what Brian Kelly said after the opener against Florida State with regards to Kayshon Booty, where they were going to get him involved. And immediately against Southern, they got him involved. First play, they threw him a 5-yard out. They ran sweeps and shovels and everything to get Kayshon involved. And they did the same thing with Jack Besh in this ball game, and it ended up being a really nice game for Jack Besh. He had 6 receptions for 43 yards on 7 targets, and then, of course, had the long punt return touchdown, which was negated, but we'll get to that. One thing I liked with the LSU offense, we saw this a couple of times in the first half. They went tempo early, but they didn't start the drive going tempo. Once they got their first down of the drive, boom, they would get right on the ball and go. We saw that on the first possession. So Besh had the 9-yarder. Tempo, 13 yards to Malik Nabers. A run out of tempo. And before you knew it, they were in the red zone, and the Tigers would punch it in with a 5-yard touchdown run by Armani Goodwin, who was injured later in the game, but more on that coming up in a bit, and some of the other injuries that we have to talk about. New Mexico did get a first down on its next possession, but ultimately were forced to punt, and that's where Besh caught the punt, didn't fair catch it, probably should have, but no harm, no foul. LSU's at its own 15. On the first play, they went up top to Chris Hilton for 51 yards. I love taking the deep shot on first down, and I love getting Chris Hilton involved. Brian Kelly has mentioned Chris Hilton many times, and for a guy who hasn't had tremendous production in his LSU career, that is very indicative of someone that the coach likes, that has a skill set that he really likes and wants to get involved. The thing about Chris Hilton is when he came in from Zachary, he has this incredible skill set. He's a track sprinter. He's got great leaping ability and athleticism. He just maybe wasn't the most refined receiver as far as receiving skill set, running routes, etc. So the more he gets comfortable with that, the better he's going to be. And you could very easily look at next year, where Kayshon Booty is going to be in the pros, Dre Jenkins will be gone. There will be a massive opportunity for Chris Hilton, along with Nabers and Besh and Thomas, to really take that big step next year. But great to see Chris Hilton get involved. They went back to Besh. There was a coverage sack on the play, but LSU was able to overcome it. 3rd and 6 from the 14-yard line. And they threw an incomplete pass to Malik Nabers. This was, if you remember the route, Daniels was clearly expecting Nabers to sit on the route in the end zone, and Nabers continued. So Daniels threw to an empty spot, basically. And you're talking after the game to quarterbacks, et cetera. It seems as though that would have been on Nabers, not recognizing the coverage and sitting in that zone. Same thing happened a week ago with Mason Taylor. When Taylor was on the left side of the formation, he was coming to the right, and Daniels threw a ball behind him when it was pretty clear he was expecting Taylor to stop, and Taylor continued the route. Well, the same thing happened with Neighbors on Saturday. LSU would kick the 31-yard field goal and go up 10-0. Tigers would force a three and out. Harold Perkins would come up with a actually, Savion Jones came up with sack. Perkins missed it. Perkins had the sack. The quarterback kind of wiggled out, and Savion Jones cleaned it up. So it was a 3rd and 16, and then this is where they punt. And Jack Besh has the 76-yard punt return, but it's called back because of a personal foul, a blindside block on Colby Fields. Now, I know there's a lot of people that are going to be have a lot of opinions about the blindside block. And I'll tell you, my opinion on the blindside block is the same as my opinion on targeting. I can appreciate the spirit of the rule. You want to eliminate dangerous plays from the game, which I understand completely. But there have to be varying degrees based on what you see out on the field. And Colby Fields didn't take any type of a malicious hit on an unsuspecting defender. He noticed that the defender was pursuing Jack Besh and could have lit him up, didn't. Instead, went shoulder pad to shoulder pad and brought his helmet across the front of the pursuer. And they threw a flag, and rightfully threw a flag. By the letter of the law, that would have been an illegal blindside block. Colby Fields literally would have been better off just putting his arms in the air and just running in front of the pursuer with his back to him. It's not a football play. It's very awkward. I don't know how you train someone to do something that isn't, you know, innate, to cure the thing that is innate in that moment, lickety-split, you know, a live split-second decision. But it's unfortunate because Jack Besh had a great effort, should have scored on the punt return for a touchdown, but it came off the board. And that was the beginning of just a terrible sequence for LSU. So the Besh punt return comes off the board. LSU on first down runs John Emery. On second down, they run Armani Goodwin. On that play, Malik Neighbors was hurt, which was devastating. You have 3rd and 3, and they threw a little screen pass to Josh Williams for 21 yards. And LSU went tempo again. After their first down of the drive, they went tempo, which was cool to see. They went to Besh for 6. Jaden Daniels ran it for 23 yards. Now you're in business, and this is where everything fell apart. Incomplete to Brian Thomas. Neighbors for 6 yards. 3rd and 4, Jaden Daniels runs and he gets popped out of bounds. So you get the personal foul. So you have a goal to go situation from the 10-yard line. Josh Williams runs for 9 yards. So you would have 2nd and goal from the 1, but there was a holding on Cole Taylor, which moves you back to the 19. They throw it to Besh for 10 yards. So now you have 2nd and goal from the 9. And Cole Taylor, beautiful pass, beautiful play by Jaden Daniels to elude the sack, roll right, find Cole Taylor, and Taylor gets into the end zone. Except they called a pick play on Malik Neighbors, so you negate the touchdown. So now it's 2nd down again. Jaden Daniels gets sacked. It's 3rd and goal from the 32, and they dump it over the middle to Cole Taylor for 11 yards. And then the disaster was a missed 38-yard field goal by Damian Ramos. On that drive, you had 2 touchdowns negated, 3 penalties in all, and a missed field goal. So those are the kinds of things in a 38-0 win over New Mexico that you can brush aside. But those are the types of things that, when you're on the road at Auburn, cost you. Let me remind you the opening sequence for LSU against Florida State. It was a very similar situation, where LSU got into, remember, that Daniels on first down ran for 25 yards. They had the 15-yard penalty added on. And then after that, they went deep into the end zone for Kayshon Boutte, which was incomplete. But, man, LSU gets down in the red zone, and you have the fumbled snap, which, you know, you lose 15 yards. Not the fumble snap, but the shotgun snap that went over Daniels' head, lost you 15 yards. My point is, red zone issues cost LSU against Florida State, and now four games later, you're on your fourth playing date, you're still having some of those issues that have popped up. Those are things that are fixable. They're mistakes and errors that are fixable. You know, you can coach Colby Fields on that block. You can coach Malik Nabers on the rub route and not to pick a defensive back. You know, you could look at the holding on Cole Taylor. Those are things that you can coach, but they've got to improve, because the last thing in the world you want is to be at Auburn and find yourself in a close game and you have a red zone situation and your own self-inflicted wounds move you out of you know, out of range, or you then miss a field goal. So, again, I'm not trying to overreact. It's a 38-0 win, and there was a lot to like in this ball game, and clearly LSU is improving. But you can't just ignore some of these issues that are popping up, because in tighter games, those issues will cost you. So the missed field goal, and you're feeling a little leery because LSU has dominated the game, but you're still only up 10-0. LSU does force a punt. Again, beautiful third and six pass breakup by Greg Brooks. Now you're moving to the end of the first half, and LSU went into its four-minute offense and essentially chewed up the rest of the clock for the first half. It was a 15-play, 88-yard drive that chewed up 5:44. The play of the drive was a fourth and one, and Josh Williams got 13 yards on the fourth and one carry. They would face a third and four, 16-yard completion to Jeray Jenkins. They would face a third and seven, 19-yard completion to Jeray Jenkins. Then you had a goal-to-go situation, and they ran Daniels and then Armani Goodwin twice on the left side, who got in, and LSU's up 17-0 at the half. Not a ton of consequence in the second half other than Jaden Daniels going out on LSU's second possession. Tigers would punt to start the second half. They'd force a three and out. Tigers would get the ball back. There was a fourth and three from LSU's 45. Jaden Daniels would run for 16 yards. He would get flung to the ground and apparently bruised his tailbone, or had some lower back issue and yodel strain. He was cleared by the doctors to go back in, but at that point in the game, you know, LSU up 17-0. They put Nussmeier in. Noah Kane would score his first touchdown. Tigers would go up 24-0, and there was just no reason to put Jaden Daniels back in at that point. And New Mexico would not get another first down the rest of the game. They would not get a first down in the second half altogether. We saw a 49-yard touchdown run by Noah Kane, which was a beautiful, strong run where he split two defenders and carried a couple of more when he got down inside the 10. And then a 57-yard catch-and-run touchdown by Brian Thomas on a screen pass where he made a guy miss and showed strength, speed, and athleticism all on that touchdown reception. So a lot to like. We also saw Chris Hilton return. LSU only returned one kick. It was the opening kickoff of the second half. Was Chris Hilton back there returning the kick, which was cool to see. And something else that ESPN noted on the broadcast, this is the 46th consecutive game that LSU has thrown a touchdown pass. That is a school record. So for a program that was mired in a quarterback wasteland for about a decade, it is certainly an about-face what we've seen now. Tigers did kick off out of bounds again in this ball game, which continues to be an issue. But overall, a lot to like with LSU's 38-0 win over New Mexico. Got an opportunity to get some guys some rest, get some guys healthy, and you head on the road to take on Auburn this week. So throughout this week, we'll talk plenty about LSU-Auburn. It's Monday, so Brian Kelly is going to meet with the media for his weekly press conference here in just a little bit as we're recording this on Monday morning. And so tomorrow we'll let you hear plenty of what Brian Kelly had to say in his press gathering. But he'll start to preview Auburn, and the biggest question about Auburn is who's going to play quarterback. LSU transfer T.J. Finley missed this last week's game against Missouri with injury, and early word is that he's going to miss this game as well. Zach Calzada, the Texas A&M transfer, he's having shoulder surgery. He will take a medical redshirt for the season. And so that leaves Robbie Ashford and true freshman Holden Griner. Well, Robbie Ashford was injured against Missouri, and Griner finished that game. So there's a big question about Ashford's status. And if he's not able to go, then LSU could very well, would likely be facing Auburn's true freshman quarterback making his first career start. Now, LSU has had the shoe on the other foot a couple times in this game. In 2014 at Auburn, LSU started freshman Brandon Harris. Did not go well. And then in 2020, incidentally, Auburn LSU started true freshman TJ Finley at Auburn, and that did not go well. So it would be nice to see the shoe on the other foot for a change at Jordan-Hare Stadium with a freshman quarterback playing, and maybe LSU can take advantage. Tigers are a 7.5-point road favorite over Auburn as the line opened here today. All right, we will talk plenty about LSU and Auburn throughout this week, and we appreciate you for being here with us every day here on LSU Daily. If you haven't done so yet, please subscribe up to the podcast, rate us, leave a review on iTunes, tell a friend if they love the Tigers, they want daily news, notes, tidbits here in less than 30 minutes. We got it for you on LSU Daily from Drop Biscuit Studios.